Okay, so I think I'll start, and whoever is coming, you know, we can... We had a lot of discussions, and, well, I haven't participated in many, I guess, about different scales of immune response, if you will. You know, there was a lot of stuff about intracellular, cellular, and maybe, you know, organ level type of discussions. I'm going to move a little bit to a higher level, where I think understanding how cells interact at the cellular level is important, of course. But at the end, all these cells, lymphocytes, as they interact, they're going to migrate somewhere. They're going to work in the whole body. And I think there's not a lot of work on really understanding the dynamics of lymphocytes and dynamics of responses in the total body, how quickly things occur, what regulates migration to different places. And this is what I've been doing in the last year or so. So the outline of my talk, I'll highlight very shortly what is the problem in terms of lymphocyte migration, at least from my point of view. I'll introduce a very kind of nice data set that has been generated, unfortunately, over 20 years ago, so almost 30 years ago. But I still think that there's, in my opinion, there's no match data like that has been generated in the recent years. Then present a model that I would like to propose to analyze those data and results from that model analysis and some other things that we can do to predict lymphocyte recirculation kinetics or something called thoracic duct output. Now, it will be a very, very short discussion about why lymph nodes enlarge as you have a local immune response. We know that there's an enlargement of lymph nodes, but I think there's no really strong consensus why they do that. And I'll finish up with some of the future directions. So, kind of, I guess for many of you it's probably not a surprise, but for those of you who don't know, is lymphocytes continuously recirculate in the body. And they enter tissues via the blood, so blood goes to essentially every tissue. And while some lymphocytes may actually reside in those tissues, majority of lymphocytes will exit from those tissues back in the blood. Migration via so-called non-lymphoid tissues, so this would be migration into a tissue such as, say, lymph nodes or the spleen. Majority of naive lymphocytes will do that. If you have other lymphocytes, like activated lymphocytes, they can enter non-lymphoid tissues, for example, skin. And if they enter the skin, then they generally don't enter back into the blood, so at least there's no strong indication they are capable of doing that. They will have to migrate into a lymph node that drains that site, so via the interstitial space. So cells will have to move through that particular space and migrate to a lymph node, and from lymph nodes they can actually go back to the blood. There has been so much work, and I mean, I actually like going back to the literature when people said that we know a lot of details about lymphocyte recirculation and how quickly things go. It's actually most of that knowledge is coming from 60s and 80s when people kind of didn't know what lymphocytes are, and then they discovered they actually migrate through the body. And since then, people moved more to molecules. So not really about how quickly things happen, but more about which molecules mediate migration of lymphocytes to a particular tissue. And I would say that we have very good understanding of molecules involved in migration to a number of tissues. So for example, lymph nodes, for example, gut, so gut epithelium, skin. So there's good characterization of molecules that mediate migration. However, I would argue that kinetically, we don't really have such a good understanding. And by kinetically, I mean how quickly do lymphocytes move from one organ to another? So if they enter a lymph node, a lymphocyte enters a lymph node, a particular lymph node, how long does it going to stay there? And does it depend which lymph node it is? Is it a stochastic process? Is it a deterministic process? Migration through a particular lymph node? I don't think we really know that. So here I put a picture that hasn't really changed dramatically. And this is from Bill Ford, one of the really well, one of the fathers of lymphocyte recirculation kinetics. He did a lot of studies. If you go back and try to look for studies on lymphocyte migration, you'll find Bill Ford. And this is what kind of summary, and this is 1979. His view on recirculation kinetics in rats, so that was from studies in rats, looks like. So you have lymphocytes that reside in the blood. A big fraction, 55% or so, this lymphocyte will migrate to the spleen. They'll spend about 4 or 5 hours and return back. Then you have lymphocytes, maybe 20% or so, going to lymph nodes, spending about 15, 18 hours there. And via so-called efferent lymphatics, they'll return back to the blood. Small percentage of lymphocytes will go to so-called non-lymphoid tissues. The time they spend there is unknown, and via so-called afferent lymphatics, they'll migrate to lymph nodes, and then from lymph nodes will go back to the blood. So that's 1979. So there's just a little bit of kind of statement about migration to the bone marrow. This is a book. You know, I teach immunology, so it hasn't changed too dramatically. This is 2007. And I don't think I could find, well, there are some reviews, but essentially they're recapitulation of what Ford said. Very similar, maybe the percentages are somewhat different. Maybe here there's lymph node residence time was said about 12 hours. I have no idea where they got that number from. But about the same, hasn't changed really that much. What I want to do like in the next 5-10 minutes is, so this is a summary. So if you inject cells in the blood, their density will decline exponentially for maybe an hour or two, with the average residence time so about 20 to 40 minutes. This is very consistent. It has been done in humans, has been done in variable mammals, sheep, pigs, rats, mice. So it's relatively well established. So it's relatively short. So it's going to decline, and then I'm going to reach a particular level of kind of steady-state level. Residence in the spleen is more complicated, and I'll show, so has been estimated to be about 5 hours, and that's only in rats as far as I know. In lymph nodes, there has been a lot of studies, and it, depending on the species that you look, rats maybe 15, 18 hours, sheep maybe 40 hours again. And what I want to do is go through studies that actually suggested these numbers. The problem is that many of these numbers have been obtained by, I call it eyeballing the data. So people just look at the data and say, oh, it looks like it's 5 hours, it looks like it's 15 hours. I'm gonna just emphasize that a little bit here. So we don't really have, nobody has, in my opinion, my knowledge. Just recently people started doing that a little bit. Nobody really developed quantitative models and estimated migration kinetics. There's been a little bit of studies, I'll mention those here. So this is how we know how long lymphocytes spend in the spleen. Again, Bill Ford did that. What he did was he isolated a spleen from a rat, and he pumped, essentially perfused that organ in this strange-looking apparatus. But the idea was that he would put, so essentially it's like a blood, and he just pumped, serum-like, solution through the spleen, and he had lymphocytes that he would put in the circulation, and he can count. So this is what you see here is in the black is the concentration of labeled lymphocytes he would put in circulation, but they're not in the spleen because you just put the spleen in and perfuse it. And what you see is the lymphocytes go out, so that's the concentration. And he can measure concentration in the circulation, kind of. So you see the lymphocytes go down. Then there's a dip and there's an increase. And if you look at the paper, essentially says, well, we see that there's a plateau reaching at about 4 to 5 hours, so the residence time is 4 to 5 hours. And since then, everybody cites this paper, or many people, or cite reviews that cite this paper anyway. And this is how the number about 4 or 5 hours we know. Right? What about lymph nodes? There's much more data on lymph nodes. But the answer is kind of similar in terms of how we know. So there are two types of experiments people have done to understand migration through lymph nodes. One is in small animals like rats or mice. And what you do is, it's so-called thoracic duct cannulation. So when you have lymphocytes that enter lymph nodes, right, say via blood or via tissue, so via afferent lymph, The exit the lymph node was so-called efferent lymph, sorry, nomenclature. And then efferent lymph from different lymph nodes is kind of joined together eventually, and it goes into a big vessel called thoracic duct, and then from that thoracic duct, it goes into the blood near heart. And that's how, so essentially all the lymph, all the lymphocytes that enter multiple different lymph nodes are collected, and then they all join, and then at the end, they enter into the blood. So what people have done is you can take lymphocytes, label them, inject them into rats, and then you can cannulate them by the thoracic duct. So you can just count how many lymphocytes you're collecting from the thoracic duct over the time when you transferred your lymphocytes. And this is the data, typical data that you get. So what you have here is the time after injection. This is in hours. I'm sorry about the quality. It's just copied it from a paper. So it's from 2 hours to about 40 hours. And here's a percent of injected cells per unit of time. So how many cells are you collecting, say, in a 30-minute period? I don't remember what exactly the time scale here is. But what you see is initially, you don't collect many lymphocytes. The ones that you injected, but then there is an accumulation, and there's a peak at about maybe 20, 30 hours or so, and there's a tail. This is for B lymphocytes, and this is for T lymphocytes, right? T lymphocytes appear to migrate more quickly, more rapidly. But again, so there is increase, and there's a tail, and the peak is about maybe 14 to 26 hours or so, and there's always this kind of longish tail. So you can cannulate animals for a little long time, and you're going to still have some lymphocytes exiting by the thoracic duct, right? So another set of experiments people have done was in the bigger animals, for example, sheep or cattle. And there you can actually cannulate individual lymph nodes because they have their blood, their lymph vessels are big enough. So you can actually do similar type of experiment, but so you inject lymphocytes in the blood, but then you collect whatever is coming out from a given lymph node. And this is again typical experiment, but they know the time scale. So this is zero, this is 200 hours, and it's again the same. Here it's per how many cells you cannulate, but effectively it's the same kind of exit rate. And what you see is depending on the lymph node. This is per capsular and interstitial lymph. So two different lymph nodes. So you see an increase, maybe peaking at about 40 hours or so, and then a very, very long shoulder. Again, this kind of information has been used just to kind of, in old days at least. Well, people looked and said, well, here the mean is about maybe 20 hours, and so people will give you an answer about 15 to 20 hours in the migration time. In sheep, it's kind of maybe more complicated, or in bigger animals. But it's, again, you could say long time take for lymphocytes to migrate. So,
Holly, does anybody correlate this with the size of lymph nodes? Did you change species, the sizes change dramatically?
Well, I haven't seen the data correlating with the size. You could actually try to compile some of those data and see at least some of the lymph nodes we know are bigger and some of the lymph nodes are smaller, like, you know, cervical are bigger than axillary or something. I don't think anybody tried. That would be probably an interesting thing. I mean, multiple species is difficult because you either have very small species, and there it's you can't do a single lymph node. And this is through multiple lymph nodes, maybe, potential migration. And then you have big ones, sheep, or maybe cows, pigs, but they're all about maybe a young stage when they do the experiments, not really.
Yeah. Inject and then recover and integrate those curves, how much do you recover in total? What you inject.
Yeah, I'm going to discuss that a little bit at the end. Yeah, so you generally, depending on the experiment and the person, you don't recover all of them, what you've injected.
But like 50% or 1%?
Oh, yeah, like 50, 40% sometimes, depending on the experiment, but it's pretty high. But not nearly even 80% or 90%, so 50% or so.
They don't die in the lungs. That's
what's going on. Well, we're going to discuss that a little bit, what's happening here. Okay. So there are a couple of caveats. I kind of like teaching immunology, anatomy. So there's one interpretation that kind of is not correct when you look at thoracic duct cannulation data. So everybody kind of, when people interpret this data, people kind of assume that all the lymphocytes enter the blood via the thoracic duct. It's actually not true. There are two ducts. So they're called left lymphatic duct and right lymphatic duct. And the right lymphatic duct, that's the thoracic duct. But then there's also left lymphatic duct. And left lymphatic is the thoracic duct. Yeah, I always confuse those things. And it's if you look at the anatomy books, actually the thoracic duct only drains about 75% of all the lymph nodes. And then the other 25% of the body is drained by right lymphatic duct. So if, for example, you're cannulating, you're thinking that you're collecting everybody, every lymphocyte, but actually some lymphocytes go back to the blood by the right lymphatic duct, and they continue seeding your cannulation. So you can get very, very long tails because of this disproportionality. So you cannot interpret the data just by looking at it. You have to develop a model. You have to put which lymphocytes go via left duct, lymphatic duct, which lymphocytes go via the right.
Charlie, are you saying that for a given lymph node, it could drain both to either duct?
No, it's a part of the body. Right. So all the lymph.
So as long as left, you're on the right side, you're okay, right? As long as you've chosen the right duct, you should be all right.
Well, not really, because I would claim that these long tails that people get, or we get, is not necessarily because the residence time is very variable, but it's more because some lymphocytes go continuously via right duct, and they never end up in left duct. So you can get still lymphocytes exiting.
But if you're going to one particular lymph node,
that
only drains into one.
Yeah, but we don't think that lymphocytes can choose to go to a particular lymph node. I mean, every time they choose a different lymph node.
You're saying you can't put the lymphocytes in specifically to it.
No, you cannot put lymphocytes into specific. Well, I mean, in terms of these experiments, people never did. It's all in the blood. You put it in the blood, you can get out of a particular lymph node, exit. But as far as I know, it was not easy via the blood. I mean, via the efferent lymph, it's possible. You can inject lymphocytes upstream where the lymph node is, just above it or somehow, and then those lymphocytes will go via the efferent lymph, but not from the blood. From the blood, they go everywhere.
Of course.
And so, and then, of course, data like this have been interpreted again. Look at this very, very long tail. This is hours. So this is 200 hours. This is almost like 10 days. And people have been saying, some lymphocytes reside in the lymph node for a very long time. But the problem is, there's a continuous input in this particular lymph node of new lymphocytes, right? You're cannulating from a specific lymph node, and there's a continuous input. So you're going to get a very long tail, just because everybody... So this tail doesn't tell you that residence times are very long. So all these kind of interpretations, visual, and I will mention a little bit about modeling, have been maybe overestimating residence times in at least lymph nodes. So this is one study that had looked, and maybe most of you who looks at this kind of issue, and this is unfortunately, if you cannot see, Steckel, and then at all there were some other people. What they had was kind of an interesting idea of how lymphocytes migrate through lymph nodes. So if you imagine a spleen and lymph nodes, what they kind of assumed, although they didn't really look at the hours, they just said spleen takes 6 hours to migrate through, lymph nodes get 20 hours, so they didn't really estimate it per se. What they said was a lymphocyte enters, say, a spleen, and it just kind of traverses through the spleen at a constant rate, but it can bind some other cells, and this will prevent them from exiting, from moving. So, and then they can go back. So they bind, and then unbind, and if they unbind, they move. And then if they bind, again, they don't move. So and this can actually generate interesting kind of behavior. And the same thing for lymph nodes, but you just consider that lymph nodes are kind of bigger organ or something, or there's more binding to these compartments. And they could actually explain those thoracic duct cannulation data. But again, there's a couple of problems. First, they just use numbers while kind of saying that they're known. So they didn't really estimate times. And then they had a problem that, again, they didn't allow that only a fraction of lymphocytes go by the thoracic duct into the blood, which always gives you this tail type of things. And this is essential equations. It's just transport type equations, but you just, if you're in this compartment, you move. If you bind, you go to this compartment, and then you don't move. And then you unbind, and again, you're moving.
What is X?
X is, they kind of assume there's a length of the lymph node. I mean, not physical in some way necessarily, but this could be from 0 to 1, I think, in their model was. But it's kind of, yeah, it's
some sort of reaction coordinates for being
I mean, you just say that there's a size of the lymph node, and if lymphocyte gets in, it just migrates through. But if it binds something, then it doesn't move. And you just, you can kind of fit the data by assuming how much binding there is, how much movement there is, etc. So there's a lot of parameters in these models to kind of describe just one simple curve. So there was just recently, in PLOS One, just came out a paper where people tried to explain the single node cannulation data. And what they did was a little bit maybe more realistic or less realistic. So what they considered is that lymphocytes to exit from a lymph node have multiple compartments. And you kind of move from that compartment to that compartment, or you can go back. So it's like a diffusion or random walk type of a process. And they've shown that if these two parameters, so moving to a next compartment and returning to the next compartment, are about similar, you can get very, very tailed distribution of the residence time, how long it takes to go through that particular system. And they kind of fitted the data, estimated residence times. The problem is, again, they looked at single lymph nodes, and they completely forgot that there is an input of new lymphocytes in the system continuously. Because these lymph nodes accept new lymphocytes, new labeled lymphocytes all the time. Because there's tons of labeled lymphocytes in the body. I mean, this is big animals. So again, they most likely overestimated. So their estimate was more than 30 hours, so depending on the lymph node. But because they didn't consider this input, they most likely overestimated the residence time. More recent studies. More recently, people did a different types of experiments, and these are mainly coming from Harp et al. Or Mandel. This is actual study done at UT, and Mandel et al. It's Ron Germain's lab. So what they did was simple. Again, they transfer lymphocytes into a mouse, and then they block entrance. So you use an antibody that blocks entrance of lymphocytes to lymph nodes, and then at different times you would sacrifice those mice, different mice, and you just measure how many lymphocytes do you find in lymph nodes. And that's what you get. So this is depend. So this different types. This is different lymph nodes. It's, I think, cervical, inguinal, iliac maybe, inguinal, mediastinal. This mediastinal lymph node. And what you see is this is a log of cell count. This is time since you added the blockade, the antibodies that block entrance, and you see a decline. And apparently there is a change. So initially there is a rapid, and then there is a slower decline.
Excuse me?
Yes?
Can we have the lights off, somebody, please?
That's pretty feasible. I'm
trying to read.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, if something is not readable, let me know. But effectively, they just look at two different cell types. Oops, the other way.
Yeah, on the inside of that wall.
This is memory lymphocytes or naive CD8 T cells. It's not very kind of, I think, critical here. The only thing, the problem with it, again, interpreting, so what they found was about 8 to 20, depending on the study, they found, again, the slope is about, you know, if you inverse the slope, it will be about 8 or 20, depending on the study, depending on the cell type, hours. So the residence time could have been, you know, between those numbers in mice. The caveat here, however, is that this dynamics is very, very critically dependent on the efficiency of your blockade. If your blockade is not 100% efficient, so if you don't block entrance of all the lymphocytes, then this dynamics is highly sensitive. And you can, I have some results I can show you if you're interested. So again, and they haven't really measured if this blockade is really 100% efficient. There is no other cells coming in. Migration through non-lymphoid organs is much more complicated and less studied, in my opinion, area. We heard a good talk, an interesting talk from Max last week about the lung. We do know that blood delivers lymphocytes to many non-lymphoid tissues. And there is studies, again, from old old years, that lymphocytes can enter, even naive lymphocytes can enter non-lymphoid tissues. Like brain, you can isolate naive lymphocytes from the brain. Very small numbers, but if you transfer cells, you can actually find those cells in the brain or gut lamina propria. To pass through some non-lymphoid tissues such as lung and liver, lymphocytes must travel via lung capillaries, right? Capillaries or sinusoids if it's a liver. So they, you know, that's how blood goes. They have to do that. And we heard already, so there is some line of evidence suggesting that lymphocytes can be actually trapped in say, in the lung. It's very unknown about the liver. So it may take very long time for lymphocyte travel by lung capillaries. What are the evidence? And again, most of that evidence is just people say, oh, see, we find cells in the lung, so it must be very difficult for them to go through the lung. So first argument, and that's what we also heard from Max, that capillaries are in the lung are pretty thin, and they are maybe thinner than lymphocytes. And let's say in humans, the size is about 5 to 10 micrometers, and lymphocyte size is about maybe 7 to 10 micrometers in humans. So somewhere, yeah, same, kind of similar. Interesting experiments people have done is that if you have a normal mouse and you perfuse it, so you remove all the blood from that mouse, you actually don't remove lymphocytes that are in the lung capillaries. So this is, well, recent studies published. Dave Masopus has done some work, but there's a number of people involved, like Tejaro et al. So it's suggesting that lymphocytes have a hard time getting through the lung. You cannot perfuse them after, you know, you died, the animal has died. There's also some data from Reinhard Probst, also one of the kind of guys, well, maybe second generation of people looking at recirculation kinetics, is that if you take the lung from pigs and you perfuse that lung, and you can just measure which lymphocytes exit the lung, it actually takes quite a while to get a lot of cells out. So minutes to maybe tens of minutes or so. Nobody has actually quantified those data properly, but it takes a long time. And then there is also kind of evidence, and again, anecdotic maybe in some way, that if you activate lymphocytes in vitro, so in old days, like Jonathan Sprent has done a lot of experiments, but also recent immunotherapy type of experiments where people take lymphocytes out, activate them, put them back into, say, animal, in monkeys, there seems to be a residence of lymphocytes in the lung for hours. So you can still isolate lymphocytes from the lung for several hours, sometimes even days. So there's a lot of evidence that it's probably long, it takes long to migrate through the lung. What's the problem? Well, in my opinion, the problem is that a lot of this information I'm telling you is all coming from different animals, different, you know, lymph nodes maybe, or different species, different subsets of lymphocytes, often different organs, tissue. For example, we still don't know if migration via different lymph nodes vary. So like smaller lymph nodes, you migrate quicker. Bigger lymph nodes, you migrate slower. We don't know that. Hairs patches, again, these are the lymphoid structures in the gut. We still don't know, you know, how quickly do lymphocytes migrate to those. As I said, via non-lymphoid tissues, we don't really know how quickly things lymphocytes migrate. And the question is, can we estimate kinetics of lymphocyte recirculation in one organism at once? And of course, I wouldn't be giving this talk if I didn't think yes. So here I'm coming to the...
What about inflammation and activation? What about inflammation?
Yeah. Well, that's the next step. Okay. I mean, at this point, I think let's for now just ask the question about naive animal, no inflammation. Just normal, uninfected. I think we can do that as well when there is inflammation. I'm going to highlight a little bit about lymph nodes. But even just normal animal, just textbook example, what is the migration kinetics through different lymph nodes and through spleen, say, or some non-lymphoid organs? So this is coming from Smin and Ford, immunology, 1983. What they did was very, in my opinion, simple experiment, but it's a cool one, I think. So what they did was they took a rat, and they collected thoracic duct lymphocytes. So what you can do is, again, I said you can cannulate animals. So you put a needle in this thoracic duct. You can collect all the lymph, and that lymph will have a lot of lymphocytes. And what they do is they collect those lymphocytes in, you know, over a long period of time, 16 hours over time. Then they label those lymphocytes with chromium. That's a radioactive label. Then they inject those lymphocytes collected into an intermediate host. And that was a very important step, well, in their opinion, and I think comparing their data to many other data. Because this long-term handling of lymphocytes on ice actually impairs their migration kinetics. So they put those into intermediate hosts and then just waited for about several hours, maybe 2 to 5 hours. They collected those lymphocytes, measured how many lymphocytes of the initial ones migrated here, so based on radioactivity, and just injected them into final recipients. Clear? I'll explain. And then what they did with final recipients is they would sacrifice those guys at different times, post-transfer, post-list transfer, and just measure how many transferred lymphocytes do we find in multiple organs of these mice. And before I go into question, into the data, of course, some teaching in the college. So I have a question. So let's say we inject 100 lymphocytes in the blood. Well, where do you think most lymphocytes migrate in 10 minutes? Where do you find majority of these lymphocytes or many of these lymphocytes? So it's going to be lung, liver, spleen, lymph nodes, or Peyer's patches.
What is a Peyer's patch?
Peyer's patch is a lymph node-like structure on the side of the gut. So you have a gut, and you have those kind of lymph node-like. I mean, I haven't seen them really, but seen pictures.
Spleen.
Good. Any other suggestion?
Liver.
Liver, okay, interesting. That's the first time. Nobody ever said liver. Okay. That's it? No more?
Lung.
Oh, everybody lung. Okay. Okay. Well, let's see. So this is the data. Essentially, this is what the data looks like. Here's the time since transfer, and this in minutes, and this is an hour. So they measured at 0, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, two. So it's like tons of measurements, right? Up to 24 hours. And they looked at multiple organs. Subcutaneous lymph nodes, so this would be a lymph node that drained the skin. Then they have mesenteric lymph nodes, those kind of drain the gut. Then they have spleen, they have Peyer's patches, liver, blood, lung. They also look in the gut and the bone. So bone marrow, we haven't included those because, well, because they don't really accumulate that much, you know, maybe a couple of percent. Okay, so what we did was we digitized those data, just clicking on points and getting the numbers out. And that's it, and that's what we analyzed. So what's the model? The model is very trivial, well, in some way.
Okay. Could you go over the graphs again? What are the x's and what is
So this is the time since the transfer.
Yeah.
So they transfer lymphocytes and then they sacrifice different rats. So this is in minutes, and this is in hours. And this is the percent of injected lymphocytes where you find them. So it's 100% initially, and then it's 40% here, 40% here.
So they are the same graph, but on different time scales.
Yeah, time. This is short time scale, this is longer time scale. Sorry, yeah. Okay. Yes?
Silly question. So these are all genetically identical mice, right?
Rats, yes. Inbred, yes. I mean.
And that's good enough so that the lymphocytes are not rejected.
Well, yeah, it's actually a funny thing. So if you actually count at 20, but if you find it, they're not rejected. But even better than that, I mean, many people know, this is immunology's dirty little secret number two. Number one, everybody knows, right? Number two is when you take lymphocytes and you put them into a mouse, let's say you put million cells. You try to count how many cells you find 24 hours after you put them in, you find maybe 10, 15%, right? So the funny thing is that at 24 hours in this experiment, and we can discuss why I think the reason is different, you get 90% back. So 90%, it's actually maybe even more. Because we didn't count gut and bone, we get 90%. But if you count those, maybe 93%. So you inject 100%, you inject a million, and you find 90% of those back, if you count all these major organs.
So these lymphocytes were harvested from the most of the time we have
yes.
from the spleen.
Yes, exactly. I think whether that's the reason, it might be the reason, yes, exactly. So when you collect one from the thoracic duct, you get suspension already of lymphocytes. You don't have to do much to them. I mean, they're already in suspension. You just resuspend them, count, and, you know, inject. When you do solid organs, you have to do a lot of destruction, you know. So, and whether that's the reason, I think there's a good chance that's the reason. You think when you inject cells which you prepare from solid organs, you think they're all alive and good, they're not alive and good, maybe.
We're also in a state where they're in the blood, right? We are essentially in the blood.
There's not very much in the blood. I mean, if you look at many of these organs, there's a few percent. I mean, it's really...
If you take spinocytes, you might be in a state where they are kind of up here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see. So the conditions are, yeah, sure. I mean, the discussion could be for, I mean, I don't know what the reason is, but I know that in this data, they can recover 90% of lymphocytes. That's, I think, very important for migration studies, if you want to count, because death is importantly, can contribute to the accumulation and loss of lymphocytes. So in these studies, effectively, there's almost no death. There's some, but not dramatically. So the model is very simple. At least we started with a simple, then it kind of becomes a little more complicated. So we inject, well, they inject lymphocytes in the blood, and they just migrate to a particular organ, say lung, and at some rate, so it will be 1-2, M1-2, because it's the second organ, this is the first organ, and then migrate back, and then liver, back, spleen, back, etc. The only exception is pair patches, and here's again, example of anatomy. So if lymphocytes migrate to Peyer's patches, they don't migrate back to the blood. They don't have an ability to actually go to lymph. So they actually migrate to mesenteric lymph nodes, and then via the mesenteric lymph nodes, they will enter the blood via the thoracic duct, or another lymphatic duct. So that actually was interesting because this changed the prediction of the model, and we actually found that the residence time of lymphocytes in Peyer's patches or different lymph nodes are exactly the same. If we didn't make that assumption, there was really different times.
So, yes? Just again, maybe a silly question. So why do you explicitly model blood as a separate compartment?
Because they measure that as well.
But not, say, the lymphatic duct, so, right?
They didn't measure that.
But say, so it's the rain, right?
I'm sorry?
The lymphatic should be a compartment, maybe you don't measure it, but it's there.
Because it could affect the rain.
But lymphatic, what do you mean by lymphatic? Is that interstitial space where lymphocytes... Yeah, but thoracic duct is a very small... So I would assume that this counts as like lymph nodes. So if they're in the thoracic duct, it's very quick. I mean, the major time they spend is really in the lymph node. Is they get out into the efferent lymph, this is probably very quick. I mean,
it's not just the lymphatic duct, it's the whole lymphatic system.
But I mean, I count them. It depends how big these vessels are. They didn't count that. So I count them as all as lymph nodes. So let's say if it's subcutaneous lymph nodes, which is tons of lymph nodes, when they isolate them, I don't know if they cut, you know, the connecting vessels. And these are pretty thin, kind of. I know they're pretty thin. Afferent lymph vessels. So. I don't know if they counted those or not. They maybe have counted. Unfortunately, I tried to find the author. The author has died, unfortunately, and the other author also is not alive. And I tried to find the notebooks, and they were destroyed. So there's no more information about how they did experiments. Unfortunately, that's the problem dealing with old data. But I think the reason that people really counted a lot of organs, and as well as they could count everything that they transferred, nearly everything, I think makes this data really unique compared to anything else. Because if you don't count everything, you never know, is it death or is migration or there's an organ where you didn't look, etc. So those lymphatic vessels are probably, I would count them as probably in lymph nodes that connect that vessel, but I don't know that for sure.
The number in those vessels would be tiny compared to the number in the lymph node.
I would predict that, but again, I don't have any information. Yeah, that's what I would say, that there's probably not very much in the vessels. We do allow for this a little bit small kind of migration death rate. We say it's from the blood, although you could probably assume that it may be happening in other tissues as well. And the reason is because there could be some organs they didn't count. So say 90%, again, they didn't look everywhere, maybe like skin or brain, they didn't look in those kind of places. But it actually comes to be very, very small. So we started with the model, which is based on ODEs. So trivial, right? So blood, everything goes away from the blood, and then migrate as you exit the organ, you go back to the blood. So the only exception is Peyer's patches, as I said. Well, mesenteric lymph nodes, because from Peyer's patches, there is an additional input into mesenteric lymph nodes from Peyer's patches. Effectively, what this model suggests is that residence times in all the organs are exponentially distributed. Okay, so that's the data, the points are the data, and the lines are predictions of the model. So what we have here is a percent of transferred cells. Here's up to 100%, here I did 50% simply because, so it looks a little bigger. Here's the first 30 minutes, and here it's the whole time with the exception of zero time point, but it's on a log scale. So it's 1 minute, 10 minutes, 100 minutes, 10 to 3 minutes, and up to 24 hours. So I just visual inspection kind of, and other ways you can see that we describe it pretty well. So there's a rapid loss of lymphocytes in the blood. There's a rapid accumulation of lymphocytes in the lung. There is accumulation in the liver, spleen, and other. And otherwise, I mean, if we look carefully, it looks pretty good. I mean, I think we're describing, so about the green, just doesn't come as good as it's on the screen. But essentially, this is spleen, this is subcutaneous lymph nodes, this is mesenteric lymph nodes, this is Peyer's patches. So we're doing pretty well with this description. There's only one, in this picture, there's only one bad thing that if you look at those blue squares, this is liver. And what we see is our model predicts you should be pretty low in terms of how many lymphocytes you find in the liver, but there's a bigger number. And the reason is that there is actually some lymphocytes do die. Yes?
Were the parameters fitted or measured?
No, that's all fitted. So I have a model that has, so if I go back, I have a model that has two rates per organ, which is, you know, in, out. I have D, and I think that's it. So I have in total six organs plus that, so I'm fitting 13 parameters. But I do have information of every organ. I'm not overfitting here. So for every organ, I have a measurement. And for every organ, I'm measuring in and out, and they're all linked together. They're all connected by blood. Yes?
So X is concentration?
Is a percent of injected. So it makes sense? So, I mean, it could be a number. They didn't have number. They injected, I don't know how many. I could probably calculate X number of lymphocytes, and they know how much. So the way it's done, the experimental data are collected. So before they inject, they have their lymphocytes, and some of those are labeled. So they just measure radioactivity, how much radioactivity there was in the sample. And then they inject that. And then what they do is, as they sacrifice the animal, they just get all the organs and just measure radioactivity from that organ. So it's very, so there's no preparation, cell preparation, single cell. So I think that's why they count as well. If you count all the radioactivity, you will come up with very, very high numbers, because, well, even if cells are dying, or you will count them probably, or you will not lose cells as you do a preparation, because many people will tell you, and I know that as you prepare organs, you lose a lot of lymphocytes, and not many people know how much lymphocytes you actually lose as you do preparations.
Tully?
Yes?
Seems like you don't have spleen mentioned being fit here.
Oh, it is here. It's green. I'm sorry. It's probably... I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I have to do something. I mean, here it comes okay, but when you do on a projector, for some reason, green doesn't display. I need to do dark green. No, it's here. Blood, lung, liver, spleen, subcutaneous lymph node, mesenteric. Yeah, all curve is... Oh, it's doing pretty well, so kind of here. Yeah, I mean, you can kind of.
Can you shrink the size of a parameter set by taking into account the size of the organ? The celularity of the spleen, the celularity of the
Well, let's look. I mean, I don't know if it's that simple. I don't think it's that simple. Yeah.
So you said before that you looked at a different topology where I think it was the PP that was calculated.
Yeah, and that's where we're accounting for that here.
So do you have like, how does it fit if you try to fit the wrong topology?
No, it actually fits okay. Yeah, so from the fit we cannot tell, but what's different is parameter estimates. So I will in some way criticize data like that, is because I think data like that cannot, you can fit multiple models to data like that. You need something else to constrain your model behavior, like either biology or there's extra data. So I have that point here. Yes.
So radioactivity doesn't know, of course, of life and death, right? So
sure.
When they die, where are they collected somewhere or something?
Yeah. So what I would claim is that this fact that you find about 3 to 4% of lymphocytes in the liver. So this is blue, and the model predicts it shouldn't be there. This is actually, I think, they're dying lymphocytes, and it's actually known. All these guys did tons of experiments, and they have shown that if they're, you know, you can. Dying lymphocytes accumulate specifically in the liver or kidney. Kidney they didn't look at in this experience. Maybe some lymphocytes they're not counting are in kidneys. So and we actually modified the model to account for that a small percentage of cells could be migrating, could be dying, and then they migrate to the liver and accumulate there. And that fits perfectly fine.
Yeah. Again, the sum goes to 90%?
Yeah, I can show that graph. Yeah, it's not about 90% actually, 92% or so. But that's, again, excluding two gut and the bone that they had, we decided not to kind of model it just because the data are a bit noisy at the bottom. But I think the cool thing is really the parameter estimates. So these are rates of entrance. So if you're in the blood as a lymphocyte, this is the rates, and then they're on per minute scale. These are the rates at which you will enter different organs. And if we calculate, for example, the average residence time of lymphocytes in the blood, which is this D plus the sum of all the rates that you leave the blood, it's actually 2.3 per minute, or the average resident time in the blood, 26 seconds. So essentially, if a lymphocyte's in the blood or major blood vessels, in about half a minute, it's going to go somewhere out of this, six compartments. Right? What is the percentages? So this is, I think, the interesting one. So the percent of cells going to organ from the blood in this time period, a matter of seconds. So 80% actually will go to the lung, and lung we will count capillaries as the lung. 15% will go to the liver. Spleen will take about 2.5% out of this. Subcutaneous lymph nodes, a little over 1%. Mesenteric. So there's a ranking. And I mean, I don't know, probably that relates to your question, or in terms of size.
I'm just worried that there's so many parameters that we'd like to make a model to.
Well, but as I said, but I have a lot of data as well. It is true, I have a lot of parameters, but...
That's 24 parameters?
No, not 24, 13. 13 here actually goes down a little bit because I constrain some of the things. It's just initial kind of. So 13, yeah. But for every organ, I have entrance and exit rate. That's it. And I have measurements. And they're all connected, right? They're all connected together in one recirculation kinetic. So I think I am pretty confident. And plus, you know, I did a bootstrap analysis and get confidence intervals. They're not terrible. I mean, they're not maybe, you know, great. Yes?
But essentially, you have like lung and liver that are flushed. So, you know. Sort of you go in rapidly, go out rapidly.
95% will go to lung and liver, exactly.
And everything else sort of has pretty much the same exit rate?
No, it's actually, well,
let's...
Well, not really.
Well, there's spleens and somewhere else, but...
Yes, yeah, and then, I think that's an interesting observation. So if we look at the residence time, which is 1 divided by exit rate, so these are exit rates, but always hard to kind of imagine. So we predict that in the lung, cells would spend only 0.45 seconds, which is a minute, which is 25, 30 seconds. Right? So we're predicting, even though there's tons of discussion that it takes a very long time for lymphocytes to go by the lung, we're predicting that they're less than 1 minute, naive lymphocytes spend in the lung. Liver is Yes.
How do you know that's not just capturing cells in the blood vessels in the
body? It's most, well, there are some major blood vessels that you count, but capillaries you cannot. So this is capillaries, yeah, absolutely. It is the discussion I asked Max last time. What is the definition of parenchymal tissue? So what is the vasculature? And I'm sure that all these lymphocytes are in the vasculature. They're not going to parenchymal tissues. I agree with that. Yeah, it's all. But even then, if you ask people, okay, how long does it take for lymphocyte to go through the vasculature of the lung? I just made an example saying that it should be long. And that's what Max was saying. They're trapped. Everybody said they're trapped. But I would predict they're not trapped. These data say they're migrating almost as quickly as in the blood. I'm going to have some estimates of how blood migrates through the lung. And it's a little slower, but they're not trapped. To a degree that people say trapped to me means you go and you sit there for a long time. Go ahead.
You're saying that most of them are not trapped, and they're saying if you look with the microscope, you see some, which is perfectly consistent to me, right?
That's my point as well. If people, when saying you find lymphocytes there, it doesn't really mean that they're truly trapped, because there's, again, this kinetics suggests there is constant recirculation. There will be cells coming to the lung all the time. If you have any cells in the blood, they're going to be constant recirculation. So if you find some cells, it doesn't mean that they are there for long. So that's why you have to do dynamic studies. That's kinetic studies. Look at different times and how that changes. And that will tell you. But just finding cells there doesn't tell you much. But people, that's how people interpret things. You know, I'm just telling you how people do it, and I think it's incorrect.
Well, but maybe the ones they see are trapped. Only they are a very, like, small man.
Well, I'll highlight a little bit at the end about trapping.
I have a question. So how do you separate, I mean, all these compartments are different sizes, so how are you going to separate the interpretation of the dynamics from that some organ is bigger and another one smaller?
I have that question a few times. I mean, I'm not separating. I think definitely entrance rate are dependent on how much blood goes into that particular organ. So lung and liver definitely highly vascularized. The majority of lymphocytes probably travel through those places. I mean, the rest would be nice. Like, for example, are the subcutaneous lymph nodes twice as big or three times as big as the mesenteric lymph nodes? And then that's what explains why it's three times more than mesenteric. But I don't have that information for us. I mean, I need to dig a bit more. Maybe there is more information.
I mean, I think of like the residence time in an organ. The residence time is from the perspective of a cell, right?
But then, well, residence time doesn't have to be dependent on the size, though. I mean, I don't know if it does or not. It may not depend. I think entrance rate could depend very strongly on the size. But it's, again, simply because how much blood go into that particular place. But the residence time, there could be other factors contributing to the residence. I don't know how that's related to the size. I haven't thought about it yet. So, again, liver, again, very short, about 1 minute. And actually, I still find it strange, although we wouldn't say that maybe there's no strong statistical difference, but it's still one seems to be allowing lymphocyte to go quicker than the liver, and I would think the opposite, because liver sinusoids are kind of bigger than the lung capillaries. Spleen is just under 2 hours under this model, and then we do get kind of different estimates for residence time in subcutaneous lymph nodes, mesenteric Peirce patches, but actually they're not statistically significant, so you can actually fit them together, and in this model, we get about 8 hours residence time. I'm sorry?
What about the entrance time?
Entrance time, again, entrance time are different, and they are, you know, if you took the percentage. Yeah, so if I sum all the lymph nodes and Peirce patches, that's going to be 1.8, and it's still not as much as spleen. So spleen takes, in these experiments, more lymphocytes than all lymph nodes together. If I just fix on secondary and lymphoid organs, and just calculate percentages where they go. My hypothesis would be that these percentages are very much related to the size. So subcutaneous, there's more subcutaneous lymph nodes than probably mesenteric lymph nodes. Would be nice to get numbers, but I mean, I need to go and find, maybe they have other papers where they've measured that. It's definitely in lab notebooks, but I couldn't get those because they were just, everything was destroyed, and that's really, I was told by a person. Yeah.
This is probably a stupid question. I can't even remember how you said these were labeled at the beginning. Does proliferation?
Yeah, it's a reasonable question. So first, it's 24 hours, and these are naive T cells, naive lymphocytes, thoracic duct. So unlikely division was, there was much division. But even if there was division, the way you measure is radioactivity. So if a cell divides, it gets half of the radioactive material, and then your total measurement of radioactivity doesn't change. So it doesn't impact, proliferation doesn't impact, here's the data. But I would assume that there's not much proliferation because these are naive T cells. There's no stimulation, normal animals, naive.
So how did they define naive T cells back then?
Yeah, so this, I mean, they small. People have, those individuals have done many, many experiments with migration, and they know if you stimulate, you know, a particular lymph node or you have an infection, you're going to have a lot of blasts in lymph, in the thoracic duct. And in this case, very, very small percentage of...
That just means they're resting. That will include memory cells as well.
Oh, there might be memory cells there too. Yeah, yeah, sure. It could be memory cells there as well. Yeah, I don't know. But these are naive animals, so memory phenotype, I would call them. I don't know if they're true memory, because these were unexposed animals. So.
Vitaly,
yes.
Are you going to talk about the different kinds of lymphocytes at all?
Not really that much.
B cells and T cells here.
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of, we can discuss that shortly, but I already mentioned, so people know that B cells seem to go much slower than T cells through the lymph nodes, and there is multiple data that kind of fits in that category. It's still a question how much. And because these guys did a transfer into so-called intermediate host, and they did, so they enriched for lymphocytes that are relatively more rapidly migrating. So I think it's probably T cells. But I don't have an answer which lymphocytes these are, whether they are B or T cells. Most likely, I think it's T cells. So that's just a summary. So I think we predict that there is a very, very short residence time in the major blood of lymphocytes and are very rapidly removed. Most lymphocytes go by the lung capillary bed. And so at any point of time that you have lymphocytes in the blood, 80% of those will go through the lung capillaries. And they will do it very quickly if it's naive lymphocyte. So I'm going to discuss very shortly what happens if you have inflammation. So liver is a bit longer, maybe 50 seconds. And because there's a rapid recirculation between blood, lung, and liver, lymphocytes actually decline pretty slowly in the blood. If you just measure cells in the blood, you're going to see a really slow decline. And the reason is because these cells go to lymphoid tissues, secondary lymphoid tissues, such as lymph nodes in the spleen. And that's what determines a slow decline rate. Yes?
So, you know, you're injecting these back into a vein, right?
Vein, cell vein.
And then, so the first organ that they see is going to be the lung?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. But they, I mean, yes. And then they go back, and then they again see lung at some point. So if it was just the first time and not continuous, then, well, you wouldn't probably fit the model properly. So here, you just say in the blood. Yeah. Because blood also recirculates much more quicker than, relatively quickly. And actually, this migration kinetics of lymphocyte to the lung and the liver is very consistent with how quickly blood goes. It's a little slower, but I'll give a number at the end. So there's a problem, however. You would think, oh, this is kind of all great and everything. So you could possibly conclude from this analysis that the residence times of lymphocytes in different places are all exponentially distributed, right? Because that's what the model did. I assume that residence times are exponential distributed, and for those of you who kind of don't know, what it means is that it means that lymphocyte enters a lymph node and then flips a coin, and when it gets heads, then it just exits. And then sometimes there's a kind of, you know, long time before they exit. But essentially, lymphocyte can exit the lymph node very quickly, immediately, as it entered. And, you know, there is a discussion, in my opinion, I think it's not probably true that happens. So what I did, and the cool thing about this model is that now I can predict how many lymphocytes are going to exit all the lymph nodes via the thoracic duct. And the guys actually did those extra experiments. So what they did, they would transfer lymphocytes and they start cannulating those rats. And this is what they measure. This is the point. So this is time since cannulation. So now it's in hours, up to 45 hours what they did. And what you see is initially you see very few lymphocytes entering and goes up and then maybe peak at about day 15, 18 hours and then kind of a long, long shoulder. So that's what they measured. So if I plug in into my model, because I have exit rate from all the lymph nodes into the blood, I just sum them up and say, okay, what is the model predicting? This is what the model is predicting. So there are two problems. First, the total is not predicted. So we don't predict the total. And then even the shape is not. So if I kind of scale it, so I say not every lymphocyte that enters lymph nodes exits during the cannulation. This is what I could get. But still, I'm not predicting the peak. So there's a problem with the assumption that lymphocytes follow an exponential distribution to the residence time of lymphocytes and lymphocytes is exponentially distributed. I cannot fit the data, other data properly. So I can do the migration fine, but I cannot fit extra data that is available. And that's the problem with the migration kinetics, because you can assume different distributions of lymphocytes in different organs, and you can still provide very reasonable description of the data. So these data are not sufficient to tell what are the distribution of times in particular organ.
And what is these data problem?
So it's the thoracic duct cannulation data. So again, what you do is you transfer labeled lymphocytes, and then you cannulate them through the thoracic duct, which is essentially all the lymph nodes collected, and they go into the blood, and you count how many percent of injected lymphocytes per hour you collect, and you do it for a long period of time, so over 2 days, so rats can be kept still in that period of time. And in fact, here's the answer. So if you count the area under the curve, that would be a total, you get 55%. So in this experiment, you can cannulate out 55% of lymphocytes. So what's the problem? So I think the problem is that residence times of lymphocytes and lymph nodes are not exponentially distributed. Why that may not be the case? Well, easy answer is that they have a complicated structure. It's, you know, the way how they enter, the way how they exit is complicated. Then they have cortex, paracortex, and medulla. So there are different different regions. So you could assume that maybe, you know, it's different physically or different biologically organs, so kind of lymphocytes have to go by multiple compartments to exit lymph nodes. Another thing is that lymph nodes in mammals are often organized in chains, right? So if a lymphocyte enters one lymph node, it actually could migrate not to the blood right away or thoracic duct, but actually to another lymph node, and then it may go to a thoracic duct. And this is a picture from their old paper, 1964. These are all the lymph nodes in a mouse. It's kind of cool. And you can see that, you know, there's one, I don't know if you can see, guys, but let's do the top, like one lymph node, and then you have migration here. And then where do you go? And then that's a thoracic duct, I think. But these are the two ducts, right? So left duct and right duct, I guess. So before you exit here, you could travel via several lymph nodes. And also there's some data that even if you look at individual lymph nodes, we know that the migration through them is kind of, you know, it's kind of log normal or tail distribution. So we have to modify the model. The way we did it was very, very simple. So we just said, well, we have a model as we had before, but what we say for lymph nodes is that lymph nodes have, or Peyer's patches, have subcompartments, and we have an equation for the subcompartments. So they're going to be exponentially, kind of every subcompartment is exponentially distributed, but lymphocyte enters one subcompartment, then it jumps to another subcompartment, to a third subcompartment, and then it exits the lymph node. It's a very trivial extension, you could say. Then we checked, can we still fit the data? And indeed, we can do it, actually, with a little bit better quality.
That's good.
Yeah. No, but actually, the quality is a little better. It's not statistical in any way, but it's a little better. So this is assuming just two subcompartments, so not very complicated. It's just a lymphocyte comes to a lymph node, spends some time, then jumps to another subcompartment, spends some time, and then exits. So just two compartments. Yeah.
You have quite small parameters.
No.
No.
Well, because migration rate is the same rate.
I see.
So I don't have twice. So it's the same number of parameters. In fact, in this fit, I actually assume that migration through the lymph nodes and pairs patches have the same rate. So I reduced by two the number of parameters. So I think I'm fitting like 10 here. And I mean, yeah, you know, visually it looks very similar. And I can tell you statistically it looks exactly the same as was before. The estimates are not dramatically changed. So I mean, maybe like here now we have 78%, 17%, but this time they're very similar. We do have a higher estimate for the residence time in the spleen, a little bit higher estimate for residence time in the lymph node. So in the spleen, we estimate about 2.4 hours, the average residence time. So spleen is still exponential though, right here in this model. We're kind of playing around with doing without the data to see what is the best description. But for lymph nodes, we can actually statistically show that all the exit rates are, or residence times are about the same, and that's about 10 hours. So now we're claiming that, so the residence times in the lymph nodes are the same, whether independent of which lymph nodes you look at, and they're about 10 hours. So what about cannulation data? So this is the same data, just scale is a little different here. So this points are from this experimental data on cannulation, and the dashed line is a prediction of the model. If we take it as we have, we actually predict pretty well the shape. So we predict the peak will occur at about, you know, maybe 15 hours or so, and there's a decay. But we still cannot get the total. So the model would predict that in this time period of time, you will cannulate about 75% of lymphocytes. And in the data, you cannulate 55%. You would say maybe it's not a big difference, maybe, but we try to think about why you cannot get all the lymphocytes out that you've transferred by cannulation. And we came up with two explanations. One explanation is that as you start cannulating, the lymph nodes shrink. So there's less cells in those lymph nodes. And what we think, and there's some data that I'll show in just in a moment, what may be happening is that lymphocytes now have harder time to get to lymph nodes. It's a little kind of counterintuitive, but it has been observed in some studies. So as you get less and less lymphocytes in lymph node, the lymphocytes have longer time, residence time in those lymph nodes. Make sense? So what we just said is that, didn't write it here, but essentially we say that migration through the lymph nodes, migration rate, just decays exponentially with the time since cannulation, because we know in the data and in our model that numbers of cells decline exponentially. And this is alpha, just a rate. So, and what it allows us to do to really predict the totals as well pretty well, I mean, better than saying if there's no change in the migration rate through the lymph nodes. We do account for the fact that there is not all lymphocytes go through the thoracic duct into the blood. So some of them go by the right lymphatic duct in the blood. So, and that fraction was kind of fitted, but we get estimates between 65% to 85%, depending on conditions, let me say. Another explanation we had was that, so as you start cannulating, which is effectively similar, I think, in my opinion, but when you start cannulating, what happens is that lymphocytes become resident, so they don't exit at all. So some lymphocytes, if you start cannulating, they don't exit lymph nodes. And then effectively what you do is you just scale this curve by a fraction, and you know, if we scale it up properly, we kind of can claim that as you start cannulation, 25% of lymphocytes that you have in lymph nodes will never exit them. And we kind of can explain the data as well. So what is the evidence that lymphocyte migration kinetics depends on how, through the lymph nodes, depends on how many lymphocytes are in lymph nodes? Again, the data are either kind of old or relatively recent. So this is one set of experimental data I took from Steckel, And what they did is, again, thoracic duct cannulation experiments. And what you see is the number of lymphocytes you get per hour from a particular animal. And if it's a normal animal, this is the curve you get, and it's the same thing that you've seen before. But if you irradiate animals, so kill a lot of lymphocytes in those animals, this is the curve you get. And, you know, there's fewer lymphocytes, but also the peak seems to be delayed a little bit. This is another set of data, and here it's clearly the peak is delayed. This is irradiated animals again. If you take new animals, so these animals don't have any T cells, then again there seems to be a slower circulation kinetics. And at least in this paper that they published, they could explain that in their model. More recent data, I'm sorry if you cannot see it because of this thing, comes from this paper by Harbert in the Journal of Immunology, where they blocked entrance of lymphocytes using antibodies. And what you see is the decay of number of lymphocytes in the lymph nodes just decay exponentially, but there is a kind of, this is a log scale, but it's not strict exponential, kind of changes over time. And because it changes over time, you can actually show that this can be interpreted as the migration kinetic for the lymph node changes as the lymph nodes become smaller and smaller. So in order to, so, and then what we did, the final thing is we just fitted this data and this data together. And we don't really have, we have two extra parameters, which is the fraction of lymphocytes that go by the thoracic duct into the blood, and this rate at which the rate of lymphocyte migration declines over time due to during chelation. And we can actually explain both data relatively, relatively well. So again, in the lectures you are told that every 15 minutes you are supposed to have some a joke or a test. To students. So we do know that when you have infection, the lymph nodes will increase at the site when infection is occurring, so enlarge. There are at least three processes that could contribute to this. First, you can have increased input of lymphocytes into antigen-stimulated lymph nodes. So there is, you know, when there's stimulation, more lymphocytes enter than if there's no stimulation per unit of time. Decreased output of lymphocytes, so what you do is you just close the exit and the lymphocytes continue entering, so the lymph nodes will enlarge. Or it could be increased in lymphocyte proliferation rate in antigen-stimulated lymph nodes. Well, because of the immune response in that lymph node. So who thinks which of these processes is the most dominant?
Number one,
okay.
Number two and three.
Two and three, okay. Immunologists. No? No idea? What are you teaching your students?
Combination.
Of course, yeah, that's a good answer. What is the most dominant, you would think? So this is taken from Kubi Immunology, textbook I use in my immunology lectures, and they essentially show that there's a shutdown. So for those of you, like a tip, I guess, this is how many cells in efferent lymph or that exit the lymph node, and a cartoon form show that there's a shutdown phase. So some lymphocytes don't exit the lymph node when there is a stimulation. Well, to address this question again, can we look at that using the model and the data? And the interesting thing is, yes. Again, these guys, Smith and Ford, did another set of experiments, just amazing. And what they did was they would stimulate apoplytic lymph node. So this is a lymph node in the leg, in the rat. And you can kind of inject an antigen, and in this case was the antigen was sheep erythrocytes. And they did 3 days before they did all the transfer experiments, right? And another popliteal lymph node was kept as a control. So this is a nice thing. So you have two legs, so inject erythrocytes in one leg, keep another leg normal, and then you count how many lymphocytes would get accumulated in two lymph nodes over time. And what we do is, well, because we have the data and now we have their circulation kinetics there, we just say, well, we just fit the migration kinetics into a stimulated or unstimulated lymph node and exit and just estimate what these are and how different they are for the two lymph nodes, and other parameters are kept constant because we've estimated those already. So we believe they are true. So this is the data. So again, this is the time since cell transfer in minutes, 10 minutes, 100 minutes, then 3 minutes. This is a percent of labeled cells, and data are points. So this is stimulated lymph node, popliteal stimulated, and you can see there's more lymphocytes there. Unstimulated, and the lines are predictions of the model. So the model assumes that the residence times are this gamma distributed two stages. So when we estimate entrance rate and exit rate, and what we find is that entrance rate has been increased dramatically, three and a half fold, which I don't know if it's dramatic, no? But exit rates are actually non-significantly different, at least when we fit the data and we compare, you know, what this exit rate estimates. They came to be different, but if we compare them, fit both data together, we find it's not significant. So the answer for this particular experiment, exit rates were the same, but entrance rate has changed, 3.5-fold.
What's the duration? Sorry, what's 10 to the 3?
It's 3 days post-stimulation, 3 days. And yeah, so, and I think this kind of analysis would be very, very interesting to do when you have different types of stimulations and at different time points. Nobody really have done that, in my opinion, carefully. Okay.
Could you speculate why would you need to increase the, or still have an increased entrance to the lymph nodes 3 days after stimulation?
Well, it's still because I think even in 3 days, you may not have collected all the antigen-specific cells in that lymph node.
How would that be possible?
Well, it still takes 10 hours. So mice have, you know, 30 lymph nodes.
Yeah.
And if a lymphocyte that is specific to that cheap erythrocyte, which is, I don't know which one it is, migrated to the wrong lymph node, it'll spend 10 hours there, 10, 12 hours, 10 hours. It'll migrate to the blood, but again could migrate to another, not the right one. So many antigen-specific cells may miss the lymph node unless you increase the blood flow to that lymph node so you can collect more and more lymphocytes. So you will collect the right ones, because you need to collect right ones. The rare antigen-specific ones, in order to have an immune. That could be a, you know, verbal argument.
So you say 3 days after there can be still antigen presentation going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, again, this is not an infection, right? Sheep erythrocyte. So I don't know how reasonable it is compared to a viral infection. So it would be nicer. But there's not as much data. I mean, there's some data on lymph node enlargement and other things, but people never estimated, okay, how increased the rate is, how decreased the rate, exit rate is, you know, quantitatively tell me how much fold it changed, and not really. I mean, there's some data kind of working our way through those, but not quantitative. Okay, so for you to take out with you, kind of, you go home, I claim that there is a very rapid recirculation of thoracic duct lymphocytes, which the nature of those remains to be determined. Between blood, lung, and liver, with a very short residence time in all these compartments, maybe less than a minute or so. We say that the textbook or whatever review type of things have to be changed, and the residence time of lymphocytes in the spleen is shorter than most people suggest, and maybe it's only 2.5 hours or so on average. And the residence times of lymphocytes and lymph nodes could be actually shorter, and again, many, many studies suggest maybe about only 10 hours or so. Well, this is, we're working on extending this kind of answer, why the antigen-stimulated lymph nodes enlarge. But at least this particular experiment shows that it's really because of the entrance rate increase, not decrease in the exit rate. Let me give you a little bit of kind of overview in terms of how quick is this migration that we estimate. So what we know is, if we take a rat, total blood volume in a rat is about 20 mils. Volume of the heart, it's depending on the sex as well as on the age, is about maybe 1 to 2 mL. We don't know, I think for rats, at least I couldn't find, how much blood is pumped per bit, but if we take human estimates, it's about 30% or so, right? So it's not the whole volume is pumped. And heartbeat in rats is about 300 per minute. So then in 1 minute, the heart, the rat heart, will pump 90 mils of blood, which is about four to five times the blood volume, four to five, because we don't really know exactly this number. So which says that the blood turnover is about seconds, maybe 10 to 15 seconds, the average. So we estimate the cells will spend about 25 seconds in the lung and maybe maybe a minute in the liver, which is shorter, but still kind of maybe consistent with the kinetics of blood turnover in those animals. So here's some numbers. Just mentioned a question about where cells are and how people misinterpret their data a lot. So what I did was I play around a little bit with changing the rate. So let's say we have a control animal, a normal animal, that we estimate what the migration kinetics for that animal is for a rat. We would find that about 2.6% of lymphocytes in that rat would be in blood, and majority would be in subcutaneous lymph nodes. About 40% of all the cells in that rat will be in lymph nodes, these lymph nodes. What if we change residence time in the lung? And the way I did it is just changing the rate of exit 20 times lower, which goes from seconds, 20 seconds to 9 minutes, from 20 seconds to 9 minutes. And this is what the distribution you would see, let's say, at the particular time point after you've changed. So let's say there's inflammation in the lung. What you will find is 30% of your lymphocytes in the body will be in the lung. They're not specific. They're not migrating there because there's inflammation, just because it takes longer time for them to go through the lung. So you can find a lot of lymphocytes in an inflamed lung has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, well, it could be the residence time is long, but it could be still minutes. In reality, when people say that cells are accumulating and stay there for hours or days, well, I don't know whether this is a quantitative claim. So I would say that even if you just go to 10 minutes, you can have majority of lymphocytes in the lung, in the body, 30%. Well, maybe as much as in the lymph nodes in this case. If you block the lymph node entrance of lymphocytes into lymph nodes, say anti-CD60L2 antibodies, majority of lymphocytes will accumulate actually in the spleen. Kind of makes sense, I guess. And if you block the exit, this is, I think, the cool kind of experiment people have done. If you block the exit of lymphocytes from lymph nodes using this compound FTY720, you actually still will get majority of lymphocytes in the lymph nodes, but it doesn't go up a lot. So you have 40% of known circumstances, and maybe it goes to 54 in this case. And the funny thing is, this is exactly what people have observed. So if you block exit of lymphocytes from lymph nodes are large, but not much. And to illustrate, this is the data done by also Harp and Anami. So this is exactly what I've been saying. So if you use FTY720 treatment and you look at a percent of lymphocytes in a control animal, you find, you know, 80% of lymphocytes in this particular experiment in these particular lymph nodes. And if you add the drug, it just goes up a little bit, not very much. But if, for example, you block entrance into lymph nodes, you can lose a lot of lymphocytes and get their redistribution to, say, lung and liver. Capillaries. So some questions, and I guess for those people that are interested in this kind of studies. So if lymphocytes travel rapidly via lung and liver, which I claim, why can't we perfuse lymphocytes from those tissues? So if you just take a normal animal and you perfuse the blood of that animal, you take the lung, you will find a lot of lymphocytes will be associated with the capillary bed. They're not going to be in the tissue of the lung, they're going to be in the vasculature or in the small blood vessels that are in the lung, capillaries. And there is data just published a few years and this year as well showing that. So, and I don't know the answer to that question. I have a hypothesis, but I think the problem is that blood vessels shrink a lot as animals die because heart pressure from the heart, blood pressure goes down, and it just perfusion doesn't open them up. While under normal circumstances, they might be pretty open, so lymphocytes have relatively easy time to go through. Simple migration data, and as I used in this example, do not really allow to estimate the distribution of residence times. We can get some kind of an average, but it's actually dependent on what is the actual distribution of residence times in a particular organ. Just migration data are not sufficient. You have to have something else, like we used thoracic duct cannulation, or maybe you have to use individual organs to constrain your model. It's interesting, biological or philosophical question. Why does it take longer for lymphocyte go through lymph node than the spleen? I'll leave it at that. And, you know, we get this, that the best description is given by these gamma distributed resonance times with two kind of stages. Is there any biology in that, or just, and maybe one biology could be about this receptor that mediates exit from the lymph node that has to be upregulated in order for lymphocytes to exit. And maybe the exit itself is a stochastic process. Well, just, so factually, this research started as a project for grad students, but actually, my help developed a model and did the initial analysis. So kind of very nice, but I mean, they dropped out and then decided not to do much on that. But sometimes giving students a project kind of can turn out to be a very interesting endeavor. I wanted to highlight for those of you that are students, and maybe as well as not necessarily students or postdocs, that I'm a part of this institute. It's called National Institute for Mathematical and Biological Synthesis, NIMBUS. It's located at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. And there's tons of support, not just actually for students or postdocs, but and you can take a look at the website if you just type that in, NIMBUS in Google or Bing or something, you'll find it. You can organize investigative workshops there, and they'll pay everything, like travel and logistics, everything, where you want to join mathematics and modeling. You can actually, if you're looking for a postdoc position, they actually fund those, but you have to have your own proposal for what you want to do. And it's reasonable, and it's 2 years, and it's actually a good environment. They have like 15 postdocs there now, so kind of. The area doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't have to be immunology. Any type of area that is related to math, biology is fine. They support short-term visits. So if you're interested in coming in for short-term for 2 weeks or a week or something, that's, you know, can be paid for. And so, as I said, so all the areas. And for those of you who might spread the word, we're actually looking for a new director of the institute, so it's the boss in the institute. So the previous boss is kind of deciding not to do it for another 5 years. So if you know someone who might be interested, please let them know. And that's it. Any more? Yeah, go ahead.
Do you suspect that different adhesion receptor expression in the spleen versus lymph nodes or would explain your different lingering or the distribution of your lingering?
I think very little is known what mediates exit of lymphocytes from the spleen, from, in particular, white pulp. I don't know, actually. Maybe that could explain it. But I don't know if that's... if we know what receptor, I mean, mediates exit from the spleen. I don't think it's S1P1 that has been implicated in lymph nodes.
Is there any sort of candidate adhesion receptors for things within the spleen or lymph node tissue?
Well, I mean, within the spleen, I think, or within the lymph nodes, I think it's pretty kind of clear. So CCR7 is needed to enter, besides integrins and, you know, selectins and stuff. But CCR7 is very critical. And then it's called S1P1 receptor is very critical for exit. So if you have it, then you exit. If you don't have it, you don't exit. But for the spleen, again, I don't think, I haven't looked maybe hard enough, but I don't think anybody kind of looked carefully. Because spleen is more complicated organ, because there's a, you know, red pulp, white pulp, and you have to do a lot of, I think, extra histology to kind of get where your lymphocytes are. Lymph nodes are easier. You knock out chemokine receptor 7, CCR7, sorry, and then you don't see cells in the lymph node, that easier. But you could still see cells in the spleen, then you have to do, where are they in the spleen? So it makes it harder. I don't think many people work on that, but maybe they should. Any other? Yes?
How can you be sure that not 50% of the cells that you see are actually not the cells anymore? I mean, that they die?
Well, it is.
Transfer?
Yeah. Well, at least what I can say is that the radioactivity follows a very, very consistent pattern of migration, which, I mean, I don't get, my estimates are not, you know, completely off compared to what we know. Kind of.
Wouldn't it be an important control? I mean, to make sure that this is not going
to... Sure, yeah. It would be nicer to do, you know, but that's what the study has done. And I mean, I do not have power over
Can't you call them back from the grave?
Some I try. I mean, but then I discovered they are very deep and, you know, and yeah, so absolutely. I mean, I think it's a concern. The only way I can kind of answer that is the kinetics is very consistent with the fact that it's just cells, but I cannot be certain. That is
experience where they transfer a single CD8 cells, the experience I know, yeah. They recover like 20-25% of the progeny populations after an infection. It might be that they're not stimulated or whatever.
Oh, you mean those studies from Germany? Dirk. Yeah, but I mean, do you know that actually, well, in their experiments, when they transfer a single cell, not always that single cell responds. So only like 15%. So, but you still lose.
25%
Yeah. So, well, they get lucky. So this study is 90%, over 90% of what they discover. So
they actually that it's living cells.
That is, well, yeah, so.
And then look at the lymph nodes and lungs.
I mean, that would be nice to do similar studies now. I'm just saying that nobody has done any of that magnitude anymore. You know, people just look at a particular organ, particular time, or very deep in that organ, but nobody kind of puts it together. Which I think at the end will have to be done. But it just, these are the only guys, in my opinion, who has done that kind of properly. And at least their balances add up. Many other studies, you just don't find these cells, and then it's very hard, I think, to make inferences if you just find 10% of transferred cells. What happens to them? You know, so even 25%—that's a lot. It means that you lose 75% of cells.
Yeah, sure, but maybe you also lose.
No, well, it's again, I would claim no. I don't lose. First of all, I find radioactivity, and second of all, the migration kinetics is very consistent to cells. It's not radioactivity cannot just migrate this way on its own, not be associated with self, right? Well, I know that people want to see the cell, you know, to make sure that that's what it is, but I you know.
But how could you lose radioactivity? I mean, even if all cells would die, you would not lose.
Well, then they will not likely to be in that particular organ. So what
they
found,
where the blood is, right?
Yeah, but they accumulate in the liver.
Mm, okay, maybe so it lose, but the lung would everything.
But you don't find much reactivity in the lung in 24 hours, very few percent. So, in the, yeah. So you do see in the liver increase, and that's very well explained by accumulation. Very small percentage of cells migrate to the reactivity, migrate to the lung. But it is a limitation on the data. I still argue with many experimentalists that it's an advantage because you don't lose that many cells. Yeah, any more? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Just simply, I think you've made an illustration of a basic principle that I have about biology, is that the first assumption that things are exponential is wrong.
Sure.
And that everything you measure in biology is log-normally distributed.
Yes.
It's here about the log-normal distribution.
Yeah, I haven't tried log-normal, but it's just in the dynamic model. A little more complicated. We're working on that to see if log-normal will fit, but most likely it will.
Yeah. But why did you make the exponential model, given that your data didn't support it from the start, and then you used it to show
Well, work? I guess my point would be, it depends. So you see, I come from the simplicity principle, so I make the simplest possible model.
You knew it was wrong before you started making it.
I didn't know initially, because initially I didn't know that, because we only focused on the migration data.
You had data for dwell times in different organs. That wasn't exponential.
Oh, you mean for lymph nodes?
Yeah.
Well, we don't really know if it's dwell time, right? So the ones that I showed, we don't know, is that kind of data, is that? Or the lymph node, this one?
No.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's non-exponential. I mean, this is just cannulation. I mean, to make inference that it's true dwell time, I mean, I think you have to be careful. It looks log normal, but you might be able to explain that data with exponential easily. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that there is no evidence that this suggests log-normal distribution. Because they're not measuring individual cell migrating through. You know. As I said, so there are some extra assumptions, like the two ducts that you have for these data. So they don't have to be.
It's hard to imagine cells entering an organ which they have to filter through, that you're going to have an exponential exit rate, right?
So I would suggest read this paper from Wong Germain, and they claim it's exponential. Yeah, I can show you the data of theirs. So here's their data. So this.
They have to go. They have to
well, that's
go
what they.
To the other.
Well, this is what they've measured. So I'm actually talking to Judith Mandel, who is the lead author on that paper. So what they did was they used antibodies to block integrin, which is essentially another molecule required to enter into lymph nodes. And this is what the cell numbers they measure over time, the points. And they just fit it to an exponential, and it's exponential. And in the paper, using this information, they say the residence times of lymphocytes and lymph nodes are exponentially distributed.
Hang on, that's watching the cells in the node after you
block entrance.
So they're already.
Yes, there's a distance. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's they actually do it 2 hours after. So they transfer cells, then wait 2 hours, then they add antibodies, and then they look at the decay. And they found it's very well consistent with exponential.
That's the same thing. You've got a steady state of exit.
No, in this case, they didn't get a steady state. In 2 hours, you're unlikely to get to a steady state. Well, even if its migration is 10 hours. But I will support your point, nevertheless. I mean, I'm saying that they just made a stupid claim that it's exponential. I mean, in my model, where the residence times are not exponential, I can get very similar curves, even after 2 hours. It will depend, as I said, so blocking efficiency, which is not known. I mean, you don't know if you're blocking completely the entrance, or 90% of lymphocytes are blocked, 95%. It's very critical. These curves are very strongly dependent on the blocking efficiency. So you cannot, I mean, I kind of, in some way, I think one has to be careful, unless the data are very clear in terms of the process, you can't, given looking at the data, you can't infer the distribution from data like that. Unless some of your data are kind of clear, because you look individual cells and everything, but in situations like that, I don't think it's always obvious to infer. You have to look, use a model.
Just on that, we published a paper a while back saying, if you have a steady state of log normal exit times, if you watch the loss from the starting point, it looks exponential.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I agree with that. But they didn't do the steady state, though.
You don't have to agree with it. It's published as data. It's correct.
Yeah, but I mean, I have, you know, in the model, I did the same thing, and I can show that, yeah, the same thing. But I'm just saying that they didn't do the steady state. So we did short-term 2 hours, and it's unlikely that it's a steady state in 2 hours. So, yes, PNAS, just maybe one or two issues back, so, or maybe last issue or something just came out. So, that was my concern as well. But, I mean, the interesting thing about this paper is that they find that the loss rate, let's call it loss rate, is different for CD8s and CD4s. And CD4s are lost quicker than CD8s, which essentially they claim that the CD4s stain for shorter time in lymph nodes than CD8s. Yeah, actually they don't have an explanation. So they tried a lot of things, like what they thought might be the reason is that CD8s stay longer in the contact with dendritic cells or other cells. So they measured contact times and distribution of those, found no difference. And then that's it. I don't think they had any other explanation. But they tried multiple things, so they don't know why. And but they did infer. I mean, that's the bad thing, of course. This is what sometimes biologists do. Is, well, yeah, I mean, looking at an exponential and inferring that the process is exponential. And I completely agree with you that this is wrong.
I think that's an error made much more by models.
By modelers? Well, there was a model involved, actually, in that. So maybe that person may be, maybe you're right. Maybe it's more by modelers.
Okay, biologists shouldn't do inference.
Good luck.
Shouldn't do inference.